You are Locked On Bulls, your daily podcast on the Chicago Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to another episode of Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. You can subscribe to us on iTunes, Stitcher, Audio Boom, TuneIn, Google Play. Make sure you leave us a five-star review on iTunes and any of those other sites. You can email us at lockedonbulls@gmail.com with any basketball questions or advertising inquiries. Tweet us at Locked On Bulls, like us on Facebook at Locked On Bulls. We're presented today by SeatGeek. Make sure you use the promo code LOBULLS in the free SeatGeek app to get $20 back on your first pick purchase. I'm Sean Hyken of The Athletic. With me, as always, Cody Westerlund of 670 The Score. And Cody, there was a monumental sporting event involving a Chicago team last night. The Bulls lost to the Celtics in Boston.
That is correct. And at the same time, in Cleveland,
something else happened.
The Chicago Cubs won the World Series over the Indians, breaking their 108-year drought and setting a standard of excellence for Chicago sports teams, and also captivating the interest of the said Chicago Bulls in the Boston locker room. Sean, you were there.
I was there.
The Bulls were watching the Cubs-Indians game as much as they were focused on being quoted about their 107-100 loss to the Celtics that dropped them to 3-1, their first loss of the season. But set the scene, what was it like?
Well, so we get into the, so sort of to set the scene, you know, everybody kind of knew that people were really going to be just focusing on this game.
Fred Hoiberg
said, you know, he said, so for the five people that are going to be watching the game in Chicago tonight, I'm going to be, you know, rooting for the Cubs. He said something like that, but he basically said that like five people in Chicago are going to be watching the game, which sounds about right, because it's just, you know.
Yeah.
If you're a sports fan in Chicago and you have a choice between watching a regular season Bulls game in early November and watching the Cubs in Game 7 of the World Series when they haven't won the World Series in 108 years, I don't think, even if you're a White Sox fan, you're probably going
to
watch the Cubs.
Yeah, we know you guys are big sport. I mean, if you're listening to this podcast, you're a good basketball fan. We know that. You love the Bulls. You're probably liking other sports at least a little bit, you know, and knowing what's going on.
Even if you're not into the other sport, like something as monumental as Game 7 of the World Series when it's the Cubs, like that's the kind of thing that most people are going to watch over an early regular season basketball game.
The biggest Chicago sporting event in history.
Especially since the Celtics, you know, Al Horford was out. He had a concussion earlier in the week. He was out, and then the Bulls obviously were without Michael Carter-Williams. We'll get to his injury in a little bit. He'll be out for a while. And then the Bulls were also missing Doug McDermott in that game. But anyway, like, on press row, I was sitting with a couple of Boston guys. I was sitting with Kevin O'Connor from The Ringer, and
dual monitors up, kind of.
Well, no, we had. See, the monitors of the TD Garden aren't like the ones at the United Center. You can't switch them to TV channels.
Yeah, so at the United Center, to fill you in a little bit on press row, they have stat monitors, small, like 13, 15, 16 inch monitors. But you could also, like, put them on sporting events, cartoons, anything you want if you want to watch the local news.
Absolutely. And so what I did was I took out my iPad, I put on the Fox Sports Go app. The Wi-Fi at the arena was surprisingly good. It was good enough that I was mostly able to watch the game without any issues. But I was mostly watching the Bulls game because I was at work and I'm a professional and I do my job.
Working professionals.
Absolutely.
What we are,
I mean, to be honest with you, if this was a preseason game, I probably would have been focused solely on the Cubs game. But since this was actually a regular season game against a good team in the Celtics, I was actually paying attention to it. But, you know, I had the other game on the iPad. I would glance over to it during timeouts, you know, watch it during halftime, stuff like that. So we get into, the game is over. The Bulls lose. We go into the locker room, and, like, I'm kind of covertly, like, have my phone out, turned sort of towards me, have the game on. As soon as I get in, I see that
covert anymore.
I see they had the game on TV. So I put my phone away. I don't need to have it on my phone anymore. But everybody, I would say maybe there were a couple of guys who were in the shower or something or getting changed. But, like, I would say 12 out of the 15 guys on the team were just sitting at their lockers just watching the TV. And, like, you know how sometimes it is in these locker rooms post-game where, like, a camera guy is, like, trying to get set up. Like, Rondo and Taj Gibson, like, wait, you're trying to set up. He'd be like, hey, could you guys move? We want to see the TV.
I don't think anyone wants to get in the way of Rajon Rondo trying to watch what he wants to watch.
But guys were focused on it. And then we were in there, because when we got into the locker room, the Cubs were up 6-3 on the Indians.
In the 7th or 8th.
This was in the 8th, because we were in there when Nerlens Chapman gave up the 2-run homer to Rajai Davis, and everybody just flipped out. It was just, like, every single, and I'm talking, like, I would say there were probably about 30 people in the locker room between all the guys on the team, a handful of reporters, and then, you know, team PR and, like, yeah. men and, like, training staff. Like, just the kind of people who are usually in the locker room. Everybody was just glued to it and watching it. And then, and I wrote a whole, by the way, if you want to read, like, a more detailed account of, you know, how this night went, you should go to The Athletic and subscribe. First of all, subscribe if you aren't already a subscriber, but I also have a whole piece kind of about how this night went, the blow-by-blow of what it's like to cover another Chicago team while the Cubs are in the process of winning the World Series. And so we were in there thinking, like, wow, were we going to, first, before they home run that Chapman gave up, we were thinking, wow, are we going to be in the Bulls locker room when the Cubs win the World Series? And then after that home run, it's like, wow, are we going to be in the locker room when the Cubs blow the World Series?
Yeah, and we should point out, I mean, the Bulls have been pretty invested in following the Cubs in the World Series run. Dwayne Wade has gone to several playoff games. Doug McDermott as well. Chris Felicio, a great
Robin Lopez has gone to a few.
They've spoken very highly of them, and I know some of that's just coach speak, player speak,
and LeBron,
cliches.
LeBron, but I mean, is going to have to come to the United Center on December 2nd dressed in a full Cubs uniform. He lost that bet.
Dwayne Wade and LeBron, just an amazing bet.
It's a good bet. It's really creative.
Yeah, it's going to be hysterical to watch him walk off the Cavs bus. The TV cameras will be ready on that night and walk into the bowels of the United Center all the way to the locker room in full Cubs gear. And Dwayne Wade has pointed out, he's talking like cleats, hat, batting gloves, gloves, whatever the case is, full Cubs uniform.
I wonder what jersey he's going to wear. Is he going to troll the Cubs like Frank Kaminsky did a couple weeks ago and wear a Steve Bartman jersey?
That's a good question. I don't think LeBron's going to pull the troll job. He's too respectful of that.
Well, but you would say that. You say that, but he also just like had a Halloween party where all the cookies said like the Warriors blew a 3-1 lead on them or something.
I missed that.
Did you miss this? No,
I did
LeBron,
miss that.
LeBron had a Halloween party a couple days ago where like, all the decorations were, like, tombstones that said, like, R.I.P. Steph Curry, R.I.P. Klay Thompson. And then the cookies all said 3-1 on them.
You know I love trolling, and I believe Twitter should mainly be for jokes and short updates, not specific arguments that make people really mad. So I love all of that, just the trolling and kind of the sports jokerism that goes with
it.
The dark side of it.
And it's especially funny because the Indians, LeBron's team, at least as of when he stopped wearing Yankees hats to Indians games, but as of recently, his team blew a 3-1 lead in the World Series.
Yep, so that is fantastic stuff. The Cubs have captured the attention, and on Friday, the Cubs will have their championship parade and rally starting at Wrigley Field all the way to Grant Park on the same day that the Bulls host the Knicks. Derrick Rose, Joakim Noah, coming back to Chicago. One night only, I guess you should say.
Yeah, because they're the only... The Bulls have two games against the Knicks at MSG later this season, but this is going to be the only time they actually come to Chicago. Now, if you don't want to deal with, you know, standing outside for the Cubs parade, and you decide you want to check out the other significant Chicago sports thing, which is Derrick Rose and Joakim Noah coming back, you're probably going to want to buy tickets to the Bulls-Knicks game on Friday, and if you want to get the best deal on tickets, you should go to SeatGeek.
You need to download the SeatGeek app. The NBA season is back. Baseball, totally done. The parade will be fun, but you need a new sport to go to. NBA's back, and SeatGeek's the smartest, easiest way to find tickets for all the games you want to see up close and in person this season. There's nothing like being at the game for the biggest plays of the year, and with SeatGeek, it's never been easier to get those seats that you want at a great value. SeatGeek has the best deals on every ticket in the house. Wherever you want to sit, courtside, club seats, upper deck, whatever. I have SeatGeek app on my phone. It's by far the easiest way I've found to shop for tickets. I can be anywhere. With a few taps, I can instantly find seats for this weekend, any game of the season down the line. With SeatGeek, you always get the best deal on every ticket because SeatGeek price compares for you by searching multiple ticket sites. They're doing the work for you. That's why they're great. Prices can vary depending on where you shop, but SeatGeek will always find you the lowest available price. And SeatGeek wants to help you get the most bang for your buck. That's why every ticket on SeatGeek is given a grade based on value. You'll immediately see any underpriced seats and find the best deals that fit your budget. Best part, every ticket you buy on SeatGeek is 100% guaranteed. So you need to download the SeatGeek app. And best of all, our listeners to Locked On Bulls get a $20 rebate on their first purchase. So get there. Go to the settings tab and click add a promo code. Use LOBULLS. Just how it sounds, LOBULLS, and SeatGeek will send you $20 after you've made your first ticket purchase. Download the SeatGeek app and enter LO Bowls today. What are you most looking forward to, Sean, with Derek and Joakim Noah back in the house at the United Center?
I'm just really interested to see the reaction. And Casey Johnson of the Tribune tweeted this morning that he confirmed with the team that they do have tribute videos for both of them planned, which is not really too much of a surprise. They both played there for a long time. They both had a lot of success with the Bulls, even though obviously it didn't really end for either one of them in Chicago the way that anybody wanted to. But it's going to be really interesting to see kind of the different reactions to the two of them, because there were some people who had kind of turned on Rose by the end.
Yeah, I think Joakim will get a heartfelt 100% rousing ovation from the entire crowd. They both poured their blood, sweat, and tears into it, I think, like Taj Gibson pointed out the other day in some comments to the media. And Joakim was the heart and soul for so long, and I think he really represented very much so the average sports fan in Chicago. I know on a couple times he had the famous quotes about how when he shows up to United Center, he's playing for the guy in the upper deck who sees him on the morning newspaper, stuff like that, and gets really fired up and goes to the Bulls game and isn't necessarily a one percenter. Joakim plays for the common man, kind of. Derek was always a little bit more detached, obviously, just his personality, and that didn't serve him quite as well toward the end when things didn't go as well with injuries. So I will be very interested in the response to Derek. I still think he will primarily get a really big ovation, just because I do think the Bulls fans appreciate what he did. And we have so much recency bias, I do think, in society now, just in the social media age and, like, the hot take age. So I think that plays into, like, some of the boos Derek will see. And I did read a story out of New York, and Derek was quoted as saying he understands it's a business. He does expect a few boos. He's on the record saying that. But he is happy to come back and, you know, just see the reaction and play here again. Kind of probably happy to get it over with, too, because it's got to come at some point. But I think Joakim gets a better ovation than Derek. There might be a few boos for him, but all in all, I think big ovation for both of them, probably.
I would tend to agree with you. What's going to be really, really interesting, is just kind of how he's received by his teammates, with Derek more so. I mean, Joakim was obviously totally beloved, but, you know, Derek, there was a little bit of, I mean, there were always the rumblings that he and Jimmy didn't get along, and, you know, some of the other veterans on the team. I think some of that was overblown, but it's just going to be a really emotional night for everybody.
It really will, and the Knicks aren't good at basketball yet.
No.
They're pretty bad. The Bulls are off to a much better start. It could be telling to see how both sides compartmentalize these emotions on what's a big night. Because, I mean, this is a night that can be tough on, like, Taj Gibson, too.
You know, right, because he's really, like, tight with both of them also.
He has put in so much work, been with those guys for so long, got to the Eastern Conference Finals, saw the good days, was there by Derek's side when he went through the knee injuries, was there when Joakim's career kind of went on a downturn because of the lingering knee troubles. And it's tough for a guy like him, too, to see that. Kind of the last sole survivor of the old Bulls era and generation is Taj Gibson. So I will be interested to see how that goes. I'll be interested to see how the Knicks offense operates. Derek, I believe someone tweeted, had 6 assists in the first 3 games of the season, which is problematic. And to tell you the truth, the flip side of how the Bulls have moved the ball has been a big reason for their success. Part of that, I think, is because Rondo does move the ball better than Derek did. Obviously, has always been more of that pass-first guy and not as good of a finisher, and that's helped everyone else on the Bulls offense. So there's basketball components here. There's emotional components here. I'll be looking forward. I like tribute videos. Like, I like old highlights. We're talking about the spirit of the Cubs World Series, and I'm not even a Cubs fan, but I love all these audio montages and all these, like, hype videos and tribute videos and seeing all this. I think that's so cool to just put that all together.
I want to see what songs they use for the tribute videos. They're going to use
of course you do.
Are they going to use the same U2 song they use for both of the Kirk Heinrich tribute
No, they
videos
get their videos? Own songs. I think there's more fitting songs for Derek than the U2. Anyway, like, that is bread and butter for Kirk
maybe
Heinrich.
Maybe Waka Flocka Flame, because remember that a few years ago?
I don't remember.
Okay, so this was the year that he was out for the whole season with the ACL, the 12-13 season. And somewhere around the playoffs, Waka Flocka Flame, the hip-hop artist, tweeted that he had heard through his sources that Derrick Rose was going to come back. And
how many basketball sources?
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. But so he tweets that. And then there's this great video, which I'm sure you can find online somewhere, of reporters asking Tom Thibodeau about the report that Waka Flocka Flame had said that Derrick was going to come back.
And what did Tom do?
Tom knew who he was. He was like, oh, the rapper?
Okay.
And then somebody said he has a song called Hard in the Paint, and Tom says, well, I'm for that. I like him more now. So maybe Waka Flocka...
maybe Tom was the source.
Maybe
who knows?
Waka Flocka Hard in the Paint might be the song that they use for Derrick. They'll probably use some Bob Marley for Joe. I know he's a big reggae guy.
That's very true. How much does Joe have left in the tank? I feel like Derrick so far has been, for the Knicks, in the limited viewing I've seen, and I mean, I've read a lot. He seems to be kind of the same Derrick as last year for the Bulls, honestly. Exactly what we thought we were going to get and what we saw for an entire season when he was fairly healthy. What about Joe, though?
Well, he looked awful in the opener against the Cavs, and then he looked really good, actually, in their home opener against Memphis. I thought he looked kind of like, not fully the old Joakim Noah, but he looked a lot better than I thought he looked last season. I didn't see their game against the Rockets the other night, but, you know, There's reason to be encouraged, but I also just, you know, having covered him long enough, I feel like he's going to break down at some point.
Yeah.
That's just where he is physically.
And again, I think the problem with the Knicks is it might be best for them to play Porzingis at center anyway, and Joe is still largely a zero offensively, which the Bulls need to be reminded of, and make him try to beat them and do anything offensively. I know he had one good game, quite a few assists, like put up some Knicks center numbers that hadn't been seen in decades, which he can still do. He can still get you that 6-8-12 line, which is what the Knicks are hoping for. But the Bulls need to make, I mean, they should let Derrick try to play one-on-one basketball. You know what I mean? They should let the Knicks try to play one-on-one basketball, and the Knicks... they have a lot of problems with this triangle offense, too, it seems. A lot of mixed messaging between Phil Jackson, Jeff Hornacek, and Derrick Rose in the media about how it's all going, and it's not going well. So this experiment with the Knicks, this one-year run with Derrick at the helm, it doesn't look early like it's going to have good returns, not going to work out. But other things we should round back on.
We should probably talk about the Michael Carter-Williams injury.
Yeah, he's out 4 to 6 weeks. With a bone bruise in his left knee, suffered Monday night in a win at Brooklyn. Michael Carter-Williams.
He has a sprained left wrist, too.
Yep, he does. No ligament damage in the knee, according to the Bulls. We put the disclaimer on. That's according to Bulls doctors. If you follow the podcast, you'll know that Bulls doctors haven't always shot 100% in their life with diagnosis.
Day-to-day with a spinal tap.
Nico Mirotic last year suffering complications that really set him back. So hopefully 4 to 6 weeks for Michael Carter-Williams, which puts him out approximately 14 to 21 games in that time frame. Unfortunate because he'd played well
those first
few games. He is a dogged defender defensively.
Absolutely.
At the point. I tweeted the other night he would make Kirk Heinrich so proud. I don't know if I tweeted that because
he's got grit.
Someone had already said it and I'd like heard it or seen it, but like I thought of it on the spot and I'm like, man, that's good stuff. Because, I mean, he was pressuring the ball at half court in your face against the Nets, who knows who their point guards even are after Jeremy Lin anyway. But the point is, Michael Carter-Williams looked like he was going to be the 7th, 8th man, basically in first guard off the bench. Isaiah Cannon, more minutes now in the coming weeks, probably.
Jaren Grant also. Jaren looked pretty good last night.
Yeah, tell us about
his
NBA debut against the Celtics while everyone was watching.
Not his NBA.
Or excuse me, the Bulls debut.
His Bulls debut. Yeah, so, you know, he came in. Well, Denzel got the first crack at it. He played a little bit in the second quarter. He knocked down a three on one of his first possessions. He played solid enough defense. And then Jaren Grant came in for the next shift, and he was running the offense pretty well. He knocked down a couple of shots. I mean, I don't think one of them clearly set themselves up as the replacement full-time for MCW, but I think both of them came off well enough that they should be able to get by for the next 4 to 6 weeks until MCW comes back.
Yeah, I don't think Cannon is as bad of a defender as I thought
he tries hard
to be either, because it's hard to evaluate someone in Philadelphia when he's with the 76ers, and you don't even watch the 76ers much either. You just see him a few times a year when they play the Bulls mainly.
I mean, you can't even find them unless you have league pass, basically, in the past few seasons.
Well, many numbers that anyone puts up on that team is meaningless.
But yeah, you said he tries hard. I mean, he seems like a smart basketball player. To me, he's going to kind of have some heat checks that are going to make you chuckle.
Oh, he will shoot. He will shoot.
Because he had like 5 or 6 three-pointers attempted in a 14-minute stretch or appearance in one of those early games for the Bulls, which is matching up with, he was like top 10 or 12 in the NBA last year in three-pointers attempted, and he was like 300th in minutes or something in the NBA, basically. That's a paraphrasing ballpark estimate.
He gets their shots up.
You get the picture there. I did want to round back. Why did Fred Hoiberg have Bobby Portis on the floor late in the game?
He said that he just was sticking with that same lineup because the lineup they had out there
down big
at the end was the three alphas, Mirotić and Portis. That was the lineup that he had to close the game. They were down 16 in the fourth quarter. They clawed back. They led at one point in the fourth. They had the opportunity to put the game away. Niko Mirotić missed some free throws in the fourth quarter, and then they weren't able to get any stops, partly because they didn't have any rim protection, which makes me feel like maybe you want to have either Taj Gibson or Robin Lopez out there. But Fred said that basically he liked what Bobby and Niko were giving them, and he wanted to just stick with the lineup that got them back in the game.
Yeah, I find that interesting. I mean, we've kind of had a baseball theme here, obviously, with the Cubs winning the World Series, but to me, I draw a parallel to a manager trying to utilize his bullpen. Like, how long do you ride someone, how long do you ride a group that you know isn't your best but is doing well in the moment? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Because do we hold that against Hoiberg, or do we understand why he did that? Because you can play both sides there. And I understand riding Bobby Portis, but at some point with the game on the line, you want to go to your best player.
You have to have either Taj or Robin.
You need a rim protector. And it should be noted that was only the second close game of the year for the Bulls in their first four. They had two blowouts. The first game of the year, also against the Celtics that they won at home, they closed with Taj and Niko because Fred liked the matchups and liked how Niko was playing that night. But Taj is a guy who can defend the rim a little more, chase and screen and rolls a little better than Bobby. So to have Bobby out there against the Celtics in a game that was still on the line with 2 minutes left, kind of puzzling, probably.
It was a little bit weird, and it should be noted this was not the same Celtics team that they played last week because Al Horford was out. Jay Crowder also sprained his ankle during the game. They said he'll be out for at least a week, so hopefully that's not too serious.
Yeah. What do the Bulls have coming up then? Knicks on Friday, at Pacers Saturday.
Magic Monday, and then they've got the Magic at home on Monday, and then they have the back-to-back that I'm going to be traveling for next week, which is Atlanta on Wednesday, Miami on Thursday, which obviously that's going to be Dwayne Wade's first game back against the Heat with another team, so that's going to be kind of cool to see.
So we'll both be at Knicks Bulls at the United Center on Friday night. We'll drop a podcast after that. I know you guys might be still reveling in the Cubs celebration. Listen to us on Saturday when you're free. The podcast, listen to us on Sunday. They'll play the Pacers too, but Derek, Joe, back at the United Center, kind of a big deal. That podcast will hold up to the test of time.
Absolutely.
So you can listen to it anytime over the weekend or even Monday morning. But as always, follow Sean on Twitter, @Hyken. Follow myself, @CodyWesterlin. Follow us, @LockedOnBulls. Email us, @LockedOnBulls@gmail.com with any advertising inquiries, basketball-related questions, always welcome. And most of all, tell your friends to subscribe. Subscribe yourself.
That's right. You can find us on iTunes. Make sure you leave us a 5-star review. Then you can also find us on Stitcher, TuneIn, Audio Boom, Google Play, anywhere that you can find podcasts. You can find Locked On Bulls and the rest of the podcasts in the Locked On Podcast Network. Thanks again to SeatGeek for sponsoring the show today. Make sure you download the free SeatGeek app and use the promo code LOBULLS to get $20 back off your first ticket purchase in a rebate after you make your purchase. And we will talk to you guys soon.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99. And our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.